98 FM's All Day Big Breakfast. Give it to me. With Rebecca and Brendan. Brendan's Big. 98 FM.
Well, Brendan is back with some strange stories, including the word of the year.
Yeah, the first one is out already. I'll be telling you what that is in the next few minutes. Up first, though, a man who is the very proud owner of the longest name in the world.
The longest name.
Yeah, so there's a fella, he's got the officially the longest name in the world. He's read the entire thing out loud.
Mm-hmm.
It is so long, it took him more than an hour to say
what?
His own name. So he's an Australian fella, and his full name contains more than 2,000 words, right?
Whoa.
So he was born Lawrence Watkins,
mm-hmm.
and legally changed his name in March 1990 to include 2,253 unique words.
Okay, so he decided to do this himself
yeah.
rather than being given this name.
So he's held the record for the world's longest personal name since 1990, okay?
Yeah.
The day he got married, he says it took the celebrant 20 minutes to read his name in full.
And we know that sometimes the wedding ceremonies can go on.
But they can, yeah. Add an extra 20 minutes on just for one name. So he decided that he wanted to read it out himself recently,
mm-hmm.
but it took him more than an hour.
Was he just really kind of...
I'm not sure. So
enunciating every syllable?
I'd say he was. So his name begins... So Lawrence was his given first name by mm-hmm. his parents. Lawrence Alan Alois Aloysius Alphage Alan Alared Alwyn Alessandra Ambi Ambrose Ambrosius Amius Amiet Amies Anders Andre Andrea Andreas Andrew Andy. Right? And they're not even all the A's.
Gosh,
the A's
that
continue.
That was like a fever dream for a moment. So he's basically put in like every name.
Every version of a... Yeah.
In the alphabet.
Yeah. So he says his favourite of his chosen middle names is AZ2000.
Yeah.
Or AZ2000. And he chose that to symbolise the fact that he has 2,000 middle names from A to Z.
I getcha.
Yeah. There you go.
Gosh.
Up next, it is, yes, it's the 5th of November, and we're rattling towards the end of the year at this stage.
Can you believe?
The Christmas ads are out even earlier than normal, and the lights are up in town. Not on yet, but they're up.
Yeah.
And Dictionary.com has just named its word of the year.
In November, normally
in
that's
November.
December content
they
for
obviously,
us, love.
They obviously want to get ahead of, you know, the Oxford
this
Dictionary
is it.
And whatever.
Get the headlines.
So last year, you may remember Dictionary.com chose demure as
yes,
its word of the year.
Yes, very demure, very mindful.
This year, its word of the year is a set of numbers.
Oh.
Have you heard of this 6-7 nonsense?
No. So I might be into the numerology, mind you.
You would be very into the numerology. I've only heard of this in the last few days. So there's this craze among the younger folk.
Yeah.
And you just say 6-7. But no one can really figure out what it means. It doesn't seem to make any sense.
I'm so old that no one's even said that around me.
I heard it on a podcast, right?
Yes.
So it's slang that's taken over schools everywhere. Mm. And apparently it is so popular, it's driving parents at home and teachers in school absolutely demented.
6-7.
Kids just keep saying 6-7 to each other, right?
Right.
It's so popular it's even made word of the year. But if, like me, you've no idea what it means,
yeah.
I'm going to tell you where it started. 6-7 is a lyric in a rap song by Skrilla. And the song is called Doot Doot. Here's the bit of the song.
Shoot a stage strap, I don't need mine. Bro, put belt right to they behind. Wait, that switch, I know he died. 6-7, I just bit right on the
high. That's it.
That's it. That song was released last December, so it was out almost a year. But you know what happens next? Someone made the 6-7 bit a trend on TikTok.
I getcha.
And all the kids started saying 6-7 to each other.
Matt.
And it's become so popular, it's now been named Dictionary.com's Word of the Year. So
didn't see that coming.
No, Dictionary.com says its Word of the Year always reflects social trends and global events
mm-hmm.
and how we've changed over the previous year.
Well, I suppose last year everyone was saying very demure, very mindful, and now they're all saying
6-7.
So
six,
it
seven.
Makes sense.
Yeah, but just...
I might say to someone now and I'll be like, I'm down
demure
with
demure and mindful made it to us, 6-7 didn't though.
Yeah.
That's
my algorithm
how much
hasn't
we've
served that
aged
to me.
In a year.
Ooh.
Finally this morning, this is the best animal related story to hit Ireland since Wally the Walrus.
Oh.
People in County Clare were sweating last week when reports emerged of a lion-like creature spotted in the woods.
Oh yeah, I saw this picture.
Yeah, so a video was shared online last week of what Gardaí described as a lion-like animal roaming around the woods in East Clare. Now, you think you'd hear this and you'd roll your eyes and you'd be like, yeah, whatever.
Well, no, I thought maybe one had escaped from a circus.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't think you're like most circuses now don't have animals.
No.
But that's just where my mind went to.
Yeah, and but you, if you saw the photograph that was shared last week, like from it's taken from the behind
of the animal.
Or I was
like, is it AI?
It does look like it could be a lion, right?
Yeah, okay.
Cue a week-long panic slash investigation, and it turns out the lion was actually a dog with a fresh haircut. And not any old dog, but a friendly Newfoundland dog named Mouse.
Oh, Mouse! Really got a makeover.
Mouse got a shaving. So Mouse's fur was shaved on the body, but left with like a longer kind of mane style.
So Mouse has a mullet.
Yeah, basically Mouse has a mullet. And they left fur at the end of the tip of the tail and left a kind of a furry mane. So in a post online, updating everyone to, you know, calm down, Garthy added that Mouse is delighted with his recent viral video.
Gas.
That is Brendan's bit.
98FM's All Day Big Breakfast.
You will recognise our next guest as one of the experts on RTE's Operation Transformation, and now he is back with a brand new book. Carl Henry, welcome to 98FM.
Good morning. You're as chirpy in person as you sound on radio. I'm very impressed.
Well, you're very chirpy as well. Are you a morning person, Carl?
Yeah.
You are a morning person.
From when I was a kid, my dad had a gym on Pembroke Street. We used to leave, and I lived in Meath, so he used to leave the house at like 5:30. I was the first kid in school every day. So early
is
good. I like early.
Great training. Yeah.
There's something lovely about being up when it's the world's kind of quiet.
Yeah.
And like cities when they're quiet are beautiful. There's some, anyway, it's a bit holistic, but it's I like her. Early's good. It is. It's a nice time of the day to be up and about and working. So
yeah. Come here. You're here to tell us about your brand new book. Where did the idea come from?
So the walking effect. It is so simple, right? I think we've lost track of how simple health can be.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, walking is just so easy. It's so simple. It benefits your mental health, your physical health, your aging health. There's nothing it doesn't improve.
It's free.
That's the best bit.
Yeah. Yep.
We all know life is expensive. We've seen that. It's getting more and more expensive. And like, I live in West Cork now, and when I come up, I get the train to Houston. I walk around the city. I was just struck by the fact that no one else does that. They all wait for the Lewis or wait for the bus or get a taxi or whatever. I'm walking, and then if I walk into a meeting or walk into a company I'm working with, they're like, you walk from Houston? It's like half an hour down the whatever. But like, it just seems so alien. We're like, okay, people need to be educated about this. So let's look at the science of it. Let's provide places to walk all around the country that are really good for families or for hill walking, whatever it may be. There's recipes in it. We've got stretches. We've got strength training there as well. So it's kind of a Bible for walking and health. And we also want to give people a way to feel better. You know, everyone's under pressure. Mental health's never been more prevalent and more challenged. This is our natural elixir to deal with stress and to deal with worry. So I'm very proud of it. It's beautiful. And it's all shot down in West Cork in terms of a lot of the imagery. And Gil has done a great job with it. So we're very happy with it.
How long did it take you to write this book? This is your sixth book?
It is. This is kind of 4 to 6 months.
Yeah.
You pitch it in as an idea, and we get a huge response to the original kind of concept. And then it was kind of 4 to 6 months to write from there. I finished it on the way back from one of our Camino trips. It's like anything. It's like running a marathon, right? Mm. Writing a book. It's the very same thing. It's a spreadsheet, and it's, you have X amount of words each week you want to get done. You tick the box, you get it done, go to the next week. I'm very practical.
Yes.
You know. Can't say now we're familiar with writing a book or running a marathon personally, but you are an inspiration. Is there truth behind the 10,000 steps a day?
All
Where
right.
did this
so,
come from?
Marketing in yes. Japan in the okay. 60s. Some very clever person came up with the idea that this is a great marketing campaign, and it's stuck. It's like 5K. And people are like, why not run 4K or 6K? Mm-hmm. But it's 5. Mm. Why is it 5? I don't know. Just sounds nice. Or 10. So 10,000 steps is like that. There's something to the number that people like. It doesn't mean you're healthy if you do less than 10, if you do 10,000 steps or more. Science-wise, it tends to be 7 to 8,000 from one of the recent ECU studies. They got 7,000 is the magic number.
Mm-hmm.
The more you do, the better. If you're listening at home and you do 1,000 steps, well done you. If it's 2,000, deadly.
Mm-hmm.
People get caught up in the kind of compare and despair. Oh, I didn't hit my 10,000 today. It's terrible. It's not. Whatever your day is that you can do, the more you can do in your day, the better.
We're coming into Christmas season.
Yes.
I'm mentioning it already. Only a few weeks to go until Christmas. There's going to be lots of meals out. And I saw on your Instagram, you have a highlight about different tips when you're eating out, if you want to go for a healthier option. So do you have any of those tips now for anyone listening who knows they've got a few bits on?
It's a couple of things. One, don't go hungry. So have a snack 2-3 hours beforehand. That's important. Going hungry to a restaurant or a supermarket is a bad move. Mm-hmm. We all know that. We've all been there, right?
I've done it several times.
Like, it's terrible. Never do a hungry food shop. That's not good. Second thing is look at your plate. You apply the portion plate idea that half the plate is salad or veg, butter. Mm-hmm. A quarter of the plate is protein. And a quarter of the plate is carbohydrates. Mm-hmm. If you stick to that, you're rocking.
Yeah.
Fish is a brilliant option when we eat out because we don't eat enough of it as a nation. We should, but we don't. So ordering fish is always really good. Knife and fork down in between each mouthful is a simple one.
Okay.
And chew your food. We don't chew our food. You know what the recommendation time for chewing your food is?
What is it?
30 seconds.
Oh, stop. I'd be hoofing it into me.
Dinner's gone in 30 seconds.
And the challenge of that is, right, your tummy's doing all the work and then you get gassy and indigestion because your stomach is under too much pressure. 30 seconds is the RDA for chewing.
Yeah.
And no one does it. Yeah. So, knife and fork down, chew your food.
And Carl, as well as being on your sixth book, you also have your podcast, Real Health.
Yeah,
flat out.
I know. 7 years. Every Thursday for 7 years. I like the structure and pattern.
You really do. You're a man of routine.
Have you taken a break at all?
No, not once.
Not once?
No. And it's cool, you know, because like we get to cover stuff that... I call it the not sexy stuff. Like, you know, there's like, we cover like diabetes and heart and stroke risk factors and like just stuff that's really important. And we bring in the best people from around the world and we chat to them and we make it really simple by taking away all the scary sciencey stuff. Mm. And it's cool. It was a big deal because I wanted to prove that there was a little bit more to me than squats and lunges.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that I could present and I could talk. And I really, that was very important to me at the time and it still is.
And any update on book number 7? Are you planning one?
If people go out and if this one sells well, I have one in my head that I'd love to do. Mm. Yeah, I do. It's very different to this one. I can't tell you what it is yet. But it's on paper. I have a pitch doc written for it. So hopefully.
Love that. Well, we'd love to see book number 7. But for now, it is all about book number 6, The Walking Effect. It's available everywhere now. Carl Henry, thank you so much for coming to see us.
Get up. 98 FM's Big Breakfast with Rebecca and Brendan.